Good morning, church family. It's great to see everybody here today. As we get started today, I want to go over a couple of announcements, just make sure everybody's kind of clued in with what's going to be going on. Tonight, we will still have an adult class here in the auditorium, but that will be our only class tonight at 5 p.m. No family Bible class, no teen Bible class tonight, with us getting into the holidays now. But if you want to be here tonight, adult Bible class right here in the auditorium at 5 p.m., we'd love for you to be here. Also want to give you guys kind of a heads up. Next Sunday, there will be no evening classes, no evening services on Sunday the 27th, just so everybody knows on that. And then going into the week following that, Sunday, January 3rd, we will not have classes that Sunday evening, but we'll have a combined family devotional time in here. Our family Bible class will be presenting some of their next wave of videos that they've been creating. So we'd love for you guys to be here and to support them in that. I have a note I want to share with you all this morning. Dear Graham Street family, we want to say thank you again for all of you who helped in any way with the community Christmas dinner this year. The format may have been different due to COVID, but the need was still great. We served almost 1,100 meals and couldn't have done it without our teams of volunteers. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus in Christian love, Lee and Deborah. So it was an awesome sight to see. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, by the first hour, I think we had already served more than last year even, is that right? So it was kind of crazy. I think there was a little bit of panic almost maybe at one point, but it was so awesome to see the people that were getting to come through. It was a wonderful way for us to be reaching out as we're into this holiday season here. So for all of you who did help with that, thank you so much. And for Lee and Tammy and for Deborah, thank you so much for your help in getting that coordinated and working for us. This morning as we get started with our worship, I want to lead us in prayer, and as we start that prayer, I'm going to go through Psalm 23, and most of us kind of know that by heart, but as I pray at that for us this morning, hear the words of that. We're going to continue our series on the journey to Christmas, and so this morning is going to be the journey of the shepherds, and so what a wonderful verse we have that comes from the Psalms. So as we get started today, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, as we're gathered here today, we're so grateful to be in your presence. Father, these words that I'm about to speak now are words that many of us have grown up with, words that we go back to often, words of truth, words of hope that come from you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Father, we know that you are God. And that's why we're here today, because you are God and you have chosen us. And we are so grateful for the sacrifice that you've made so that we can be with you. Father, be with us now as we worship together. Open up our hearts and our mouths to you. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. All these songs, I know you guys know, so sing right out. It is definitely basketball season, and the old coaching voice is a little raspy this morning, so sing right out.
Silent night, holy night, calm, all is bright round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleeping sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sign. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night. Son of God, love's pure light, beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet and anthems sweet, he while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, laud the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. King of kings, salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, laud the babe, the Son of Mary.
If it's convenient, would you please stand for these next two songs and continue to sing right out.
The first Noel, the angel did. did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds all were watching while seated on the ground. A light from heaven descended and glory shone around. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. This light shone in the heavens to cover all the earth. It was a sign to tell men about our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The wise men came to worship the holy child that day. They found him in a manger, sleeping on the hay. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I said, now go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Please be seated.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. I know we have a lot of people out of town. They're getting ready for the celebration of Christmas. School's out. The college students are gone. I mean, it's a exciting time, but we miss people when they start moving out. So God bless you for being here this morning. Some of you have asked me about Vicki not being with me this morning. We had a little accident last night. We had the grandkids, and Danny and Angela came over to be with us yesterday, and we were celebrating Christmas, so we went over to the lights over in the park, and Vicki tripped over one of the lights and fell down and banged herself up a little bit. She's pretty sore this morning, so I told her to hang loose at home and put ice on everything that hurt, and we'll see how she's doing this afternoon. But anyway, she had a little accident, and she told me to tell you she's okay, but just hurting a bit. So anyway, I want to tell you, I am so proud of you guys. I mean, Lee, you know, about 1,100 meals given out on Wednesday. That's just awesome, you know, through the drive-through and delivery with our community Christmas dinner. And then Thursday morning, we had our regular basic needs distribution, and we had more than usual. which is probably because of COVID. And I just thought that was great the way everybody worked to try to get that done on Thursday morning. And then Thursday evening, we had our community food drive where the different food ministries joined together and work with passing out food or groceries in our community. We served over 400 families on Thursday evening, and it was a hustle, and we had fewer people to help than usual. A lot of times our Tarleton students will come and help us, and we have people that come and help us that weren't able to be there, and so we had a low number of volunteers, but yet we served a greater number than usual, and it was really amazing. And we ran out of a lot of the food that we had before everyone got through the line. So it tells you how important it is for us to serve the needs of our community. And you've been doing it all through this, and I'm just so proud of you for doing that. I know there's a lot about this that is discouraging, but you've kept encouraging people. And so keep that up. This is not going to be over for a while. It's exciting to know that we have some things on the horizon that encourage us, but it's going to take a while, and we need to keep being faithful in serving our community. So with that in mind, let's go to God in prayer. Would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you. We live in a community that, although it's small, it has great need. And we realize that we're a part of your calling to serve those needs. We, of course, remember in our congregation that we have a number of members who have their own needs. And we ask, Father, that you help us to be aware of how our brothers and sisters who are part of this church, how we can help them. And we pray for those who are dealing with illnesses and dealing with a loss of jobs, a difficulty in their household because of a lack of money and food. We ask, Father, that you help us to reach out unto one another in the family. But also we pray, Father, we'll have the means and the ability, the stamina, the hope to be able to keep reaching out to our community and serving those needs. And we can't pray this without thinking about our brothers and sisters that we support in the mission field. We especially pray this morning for Zimbabwe, where we're heavily involved. And we pray for the missionaries that we support there, because we know that due to the government's inability to meet the needs of the people, the churches are being called upon even more than ever to serve the needs of people. And we ask that you'll help us to help them. And all of this, we pray, Father, this will be a season that will be a testimony to your goodwill and grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me draw your attention to the series that we're doing. I've enjoyed working on this series. It's always a special time of the year to kind of think about, okay, how can we approach this and remind ourselves of how we have an opportunity at Christmas time to share this message again with people, and yet that it not be taken in just a trite way, something that people have heard over and over. And when you begin to look at the story again, there's always something that you think of that I really haven't noticed that before. And so I'm hoping that we see some of that. We've been talking about the Christmas journey, and we've been looking at different characters in the story and how their journey took place in this story of the birth of Jesus. And the first one we looked at was, of course, the journey of the Logos, the Word, Jesus himself. And his journey from being in the presence of God and being God himself to coming to this earth and becoming flesh. Secondly, we looked at the story of Mary, probably a teenage girl that was told that she was going to be pregnant, and her journey in finding out who this child was going to be, and following that journey all the way through the story of Jesus' death and resurrection is an important part of the story for us to remember. This morning, we're going to talk about the journey of the shepherds. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke 2, we're going to look at that chapter this morning, Luke chapter 2. I want to invite you to come back and be with us next week. It is after Christmas, and that's part of the reason why I've put the story of the wise men after Christmas, is because I think biblically that's the place probably where it belongs. But I want you to see that there's some things about the story that I think sets up some things about the persecution of Christ and the persecution of the church. And in Matthew's telling of that story, he tells the church some things to expect in the future. So you may want to be a part of that and hear that story, because it may be a little wrinkle in it that you haven't heard before or thought about. So let's start with the reading from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with them a multitude of angels of heavenly hosts, singing and praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them and into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been exactly told unto them. Now, I think it's important that we understand that the shepherds are an important emphasis in this story, and also that David is an important emphasis in this story. And it's not just in this particular chapter that we find this emphasis on the fact that Joseph and Mary were descendants of David, and that they had to report for their registration to the city of David in Bethlehem. That's important. But also the connection to David with the story of Mary being told that she was going to have a child that would be born of David and would inherit the throne of David. That's an important part of the story in Luke chapter 1. Or remember also from Matthew chapter 1 that Joseph is told that don't put your betrothed away, don't divorce her, because what she is carrying is going to be the child that is of David, and he will inherit the throne of David. So that's an important emphasis to Joseph. We haven't really talked about this part of the story much, but also when John the Baptist, as we call him, John, was born, Zacharias, his father, made this praise unto God. And in this praise, in Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 67, he notes that he is a descendant of David, and that he'll be seated upon the throne of David. So all of this is a big emphasis in Luke's telling the story of Jesus' birth, tying it to David, King David. Now you know the story of David. And you know that there was the prophecy to David when David wanted to build a temple for God. He said, you know, God lives in a tent and I live in a palace. I need to build a house for God. And Nathan, the prophet, thought that was a good idea. You know, he said, yeah, do what you want to do. But then that night, God told Nathan, the prophet, no, you need to go tell David that I am not going to have him build the temple. He's not going to be the one that will build my house. His son will. But I'm going to build for him a house that will last forever. And one of his descendants will be seated upon his throne someday, and that kingdom will never come to an end. That's part of the reason why this is such an important emphasis in this story, the connection to David. Also, we know that this is an important emphasis in the gospel story. When Peter preached the first sermon after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, a big part of his sermon in Acts chapter 2 is the tying Jesus into being a descendant of David. That David, King David, even as a prophet, spoke of Jesus coming into this world and his dying and being raised from the dead. And that's part of the preaching that Peter does in telling them about who Jesus of Nazareth really is. And of course, you know the conclusion of that sermon. They believe in Jesus as being the Christ, the Messiah, and that he is the Lord. And so they say, what must we do? And they're told to be baptized. And 3,000 people are baptized that day. And the church has this glorious beginning in Jerusalem. Well, part of the gospel story is the fact that Jesus is connected to David. And that shows up in this story. And of course, the story of David is a story of a shepherd boy who becomes a king. Doesn't it seem appropriate that shepherds would be a part of this story? If it's so connected to David, and David was the shepherd boy who became a king, he was the one who wrote that great psalm that Wes read to us earlier, the 23rd Psalm. He knows what it means to be a shepherd. He spoke about God being a shepherd. He spoke in prophetic language of Jesus being the shepherd, the good shepherd. And so it seems appropriate that shepherds would be there for his birth. Now in John chapter 10, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And what we may not realize when we read Jesus saying that is that there is a reference in Micah chapter 5 of the one who will be the Messiah coming, and he will shepherd his people. So Jesus, in saying that I am the good shepherd and my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they know me and I will lay down my life for my sheep, in saying that, Jesus is referring back to the Micah prophecy about the Messiah being one who would come and shepherd his sheep. So Jesus becomes the shepherd. The shepherds come to visit the one who will become the shepherd. But before he could become the shepherd of the sheep, he had to become the Lamb of God. Now, you remember in John chapter 1, in verse 29, when John the Baptist is foretelling about Jesus coming. The Messiah is coming. He's come into this world. He's going to come after me. And even though he comes after me, he was before me because he was always before me. And he says, he is so great, I cannot even stoop down and lace up his sandals. And remember, John baptizes Jesus, and God gives testimony that this is the one that they've been waiting for. He says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And John the Baptist knows he is baptizing the one that has been called to be this shepherd of the sheep. But he also knows, even though he may not understand all that's involved in it, he also knows that he is the Lamb of God. Because when John the Baptist sees Jesus and he is introducing him to his disciples, to his follower, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, in John 1:29. We know the story of the Passover lamb. We know how that the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage. And that we know the story of the plagues and all of that. And we know how that God tells that there's going to be one more plague. And death is going to come upon the firstborn sons. He says to the people of Israel, this is how you can guard yourself against that death. You can take a lamb and take its blood and put it on the doorpost. And death will not visit that house. But the houses where there is not that lamb's blood, there will be death in that house. And so they do that, and they're spared. And they're told by Moses, through the instruction of God, that they should commemorate that day from then on with what's called the Passover feast. And they slaughter a lamb in sacrifice in showing a remembrance of the lamb's blood sparing them. In John calling Jesus the Lamb of God, he was predicting the idea that Jesus would become the lamb that would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. In 1 Corinthians, we find that Jesus is called the Passover Lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. He is the Passover Lamb. So Jesus, in order to be the shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep, he had to become the Lamb of God. And this refers back to a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53. And I want to read part of that. You may want to follow in your Bible. But I want you to listen to the words of this passage in Isaiah 53, prophesying that the Messiah would be one who would be the Lamb of God, sacrificed for our sins. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? For they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death. And although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him and to put on him grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted as righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus was the fulfillment of this prophecy. He was the Lamb of God. You remember the story of Abraham offering his son Isaac as a sacrifice? And Isaac heads with his father to the mountain to offer the sacrifice. And they have wood and they have fire, but they don't have the sacrifice. And Isaac asks his father, he says, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice for us to offer? And Abraham says, God will provide. And you remember the story. You remember as Abraham is about to kill his son and to offer him as a sacrifice, being tested by God for his faith, and God stopped him. And he did not offer his son. He did not kill him. And God provided a lamb. He provided that lamb that would be the sacrifice instead of his son. And so what Abraham said God will provide was fulfilled in that. God provided the lamb. And he even called the place where he offered the sacrifice in Hebrew, God will provide. But what Abraham was saying was also a prophecy about the Lamb of God that would come later. The one through whom God was saying that all people would be blessed through the seed of Abraham. And that seed of Abraham was Jesus, who would be born as a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David, who would be the Lamb of God, and God would provide him for the forgiveness of our sins. But what I want you to see is that this story continues in the book of Revelation. And as the shepherds go to pay honor to this child that the angels have told them about, they're going to visit the Lamb of God. And it's interesting for shepherds to go and visit the Lamb, who will become the shepherd of the sheep. But the story continues in the book of Revelation. If you'll bear with me, and you may want to look in your Bibles, I'm going to have a bit of a lengthy reading here. But listen to the wording of this, or follow in your Bible from Revelation chapter 5. And I want you to pick up on the story of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. And sometimes we get so caught up in the symbols and the allegorical type of writing, a different type of writing that some even find scary, that we miss this story that goes through the book of Revelation telling us about what happened to the Lamb. So follow it with me, please, beginning in chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. And realize in chapter 4, the story of Revelation has God described seated on the throne. And that's good to remember as we start chapter 5. And then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep. This is John speaking. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And of course, you know, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David is Jesus. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb. Now, instead of seeing Jesus come out, he sees a lamb coming out. But it's still describing Jesus. And I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes. Each are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him, God, who is seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Now skip over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? And I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I want you to see in this how Jesus is described as the Lamb of God. But notice the next paragraph. The Lamb becomes the shepherd. Watch this. Verse 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He sits on the throne, will shelter them with His presence. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. And the sun shall not strike them with scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd. And He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now jump ahead to chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Chapter 19. Chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. And the angel said to me, Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. And then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. And it is the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The story of Revelation is a story of a lamb that was slaughtered in the plan of God before creation even took place. And that slaughtered lamb will become our shepherd, and that shepherd will become our king. Like David, the shepherd boy, became a king, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, will become our king. He will shepherd us to our place of abode with God. And we will worship him for and ever as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The journey of the shepherds was to visit the Lamb of God. They didn't understand it, but that's what they were doing. Their journey was to visit the Good Shepherd. They didn't understand it, but that's who he was. Their journey was to see the King of Kings, and they knew, they were told that they were going to see a newborn king, but they didn't understand what he was the king of, that he was the king of all kings. They knew he was called the Son of God, but they didn't really understand what that meant. They didn't realize he was the Son of God, the one who had the right to wear the name of God as Lord. And when we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, when we eat of that bread which reminds us of the body of Jesus, and we drink of that cup that reminds us of the blood of Jesus, this is exactly what we're participating in. We have come to see the Lamb of God. We have come to experience the shepherding of the Good Shepherd. We have come to humble ourselves in the presence of the King of Kings. We have allowed ourselves to experience deity, the Son of God, the Lord God. That's what we're doing when we take the Lord's Supper. That's what we're called to experience. And this morning, if that is not something that you have been experiencing in your personal life, then the Lord's Supper is difficult to have that meaning for you. Because if you're not living it every day of your life, then on Sunday it's hard to make it make sense. You can't just one day of the week for a moment take a little bread and a little juice and experience who Jesus really is unless you live who Jesus really is during the week. The call today to you is not only to think of that as we take the Lord's Supper, but leave here today to live Jesus every day of your life as we remember in the Lord's Supper.
To hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty son and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died. But you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the blood. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. O wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the
Lamb of God. Pray with me. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you today to remember your Son. It's this time of year that we celebrate the birth of a baby born in a manger to a scared teenage girl in a desolate place in a manger. Lord, I ask that you impress on us the life of that baby. As Jesus grew, he committed himself to the word. He committed himself to teaching others and sending them out into the world. He remained firm against sin and evil in this world. And Lord, when the storms of life came, Jesus remained calm. And he knew that you were on his side no matter what. Even as that lamb carried his own cross to his death. Lord, we're glad of the life he lived and the example that he set for us. I ask that we remember his life every day of ours and that we live with the boldness to walk in his footsteps, to live a Christ example to those around us, and to be the light for this world. Lord, at this time, we remember the baby who grew to be a shepherd and ultimately became the lamb on the cross. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, we come to you now to remember that lamb on the cross, to remember the blood that was spilt and his body as he hung there. Lord, his death means so much to us now today, but more importantly, was 3 days later when he arose and ascended to you with you in the heavenly places. Lord, that lamb became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And today we as Christians have his power on our side as we live our lives. Help us to be bold, to know that his death led to his resurrection, and then that lamb is now the king. Lord, we can be great examples through our life that he has led the path for us and that he is working with us today. Lord, we praise his death on the cross, and we rejoice in his ascension with you in heaven. Thank you so much for this time this year as we spend with select family and as we celebrate 2020 despite the challenges of this year. Because, Lord, just through the storms of life, we know that you and your Son are on our side and that no matter what life brings, we can rejoice because we all know that one day we will be with you and your Son in heaven. Amen.
Let's be standing as we close with these final two songs this morning.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Please be seated.
Thank you, Quincy, for those songs, and thank you, David, for the lesson. And appreciate all y'all being here this morning. It's always an encouragement to see you here. You know, one thing the virus has taught us, at least it's taught me, is to better appreciate my church family and also my physical family. So as we come in coming days, as we celebrate Christmas, remember the reason for the season, but also cherish your family and learn to love them more. Have a quote for the day. It is not after we were reconciled by the blood of his son that God began to love us, but before the foundation of the world. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you love us. It's hard for us to comprehend that you've loved us even before the foundation of the world. But we're thankful for that blood from the Lamb, your Son, that he was willing to come and shed that blood for our sins, that we would be able to be reconciled to you. We're thankful that he was that lamb, and we're thankful that he became the good shepherd. But ultimately, we're thankful that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're thankful that we are allowed to be a part of that kingdom. May we seek you each day. May we serve you each day. Strengthen us, protect us from the evil one. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Thank you again for being here with us this morning. Thank you, Quincy, for leading us in song today. It was great to get to go through. I know a lot of those songs, we always call them Christmas songs, but they're just beautiful songs in what they are. So it was a great chance, and we really appreciate you guys singing out today. Don't forget, tonight we will have adult class here at 5 p.m., so if you can be back for that, we'd love to have you here. And as you get ready to go out into this week, know that there's going to be a lot of craziness going on in the world, but we are always able to go out and to share the love and the joy that comes from Christ. We'll have a song playing as we dismiss. Have a blessed week.